Hello, and welcome to another mini-episode of the Comics in the Golden Age podcast. This week, I had originally planned to return to my coverage of Marvel's The 12, the Golden Age timely heroes they revived for the 2008 JMS series. But I was organizing some comics a few days ago, which of course included some Captain Marvel adventures, and I'm just such a huge fan of them that I found myself diving back into reading Cap's Golden Age stories, so I just could not resist revisiting Cap in this episode. I think with these minis at the end of the day, it's just never going to be too long before I return to Cap, so I'm going to hold off on the 12 until my next mini episode. I should also mention that I recently was invited on an episode of the Film and Water podcast, where host Rob Kelly and I discussed the adventures of Captain Marvel serial from the 1940s. So if you are a fan of that movie serial, or you haven't really heard of it before, either way, I would highly recommend you check out that podcast episode, and I would recommend his podcast generally if you're a movie fan. It's a great, great show. Here I am going to be covering a story from Captain Marvel Adventures number 51, cover dated January 1951. As usual, this one has a fun cover with Cap riding on the back of a horse at a ranch, and he's got a cowboy hat in his hand that he is waving in the air. The horse just looks out of control, like it's trying to toss Cap off, but he just has a big grin on his face like he is having the best time ever. Given how popular Westerns were at the time, this is just a perfect cover for the era, and as we will see, appropriate to the story we're about to get into. The cover blurb is Captain Marvel Goes Western. Read Captain Marvel and the Last of the Batsons. Inside, there is a splash image of an old man, an old cowboy, I should say, running from a large buffalo with Cap flying to the rescue. It's got a cute slapstick kind of mood to it. The story opens up with the old man riding his horse down a city street, firing his gun into the air and shouting for the cars to get out of the way. He arrives at Station Wiz and finds the person he is looking for, Billy Batson. He grabs him, lifts him up in the air for a big bear hug, and tells Billy that he is his grandfather. Billy insists there must be some mistake and tells the man that his last name is Batson, B-A-T-S-O-N. The man says he knows, that's his name too. He introduces himself as William Batson and insists that Billy is his long-lost grandson. He tells Billy he thought he was the last of the Batsons, but when he heard Billy on the radio, he realized because they have the same name, he must be his grandson. Billy tries to point out the flaw in the old man's logic, but the man keeps interrupting. He insists that Billy come along with him, and when he refuses, the man lassos Billy and forces him to come along. For some reason, Billy doesn't shout the magic word until they stumble upon a bank robbery, and the old man tries to stop the robbers himself. Billy changes to Cap just in time to save the old man from the bank robber's bullets. The old man is thankful, but wonders what happened to his grandson, Billy. Cap tells the man that it's time to stop this foolishness because Billy is not his grandson. He tells the old man to leave Billy alone and go home. The old man insists that he has proof positive they are related back at his ranch, and Cap starts to question himself. With even a slight possibility the old man is right, he concludes that Billy has a duty to find out for sure. He tells the old man that he will arrange for Billy to meet him at his ranch, and then goes to call Mr. Morrison and explain that Billy has to go out west on an urgent personal matter. Cap insists on accompanying the old man, telling him that he is Billy's closest friend. He gets on the old man's horse, but the animal won't move, and Cap concludes that the both of them are too much for old Nellie. So Cap flies all of them back to the ranch instead, which would have seemed the obvious option in the first place to me, but what do I know? I do not have the wisdom of Solomon. When they arrive at the ranch, which he's named the Barbecue, the old man explains that Billy will inherit everything when he kicks off in about 40 or 50 years from now. That's a lot of optimism, old man. Cap is about to change into Billy and demand proof of their relationship when there's a stampede of animals and he has to go save the day. The old man had tried to corral them himself, but is about to take two bullhorns to the chest when Cap comes to the rescue. After the animals have been stopped, Cap changes to Billy and the old man brings him into his home to show him a photo album. He shows Billy a photo of his grandkids, Billy and Mary Batson, whose parents were killed when they were young. Billy's just about convinced and asks what happened to the children. The old man explains that they wandered from the ranch and were lost in the woods, never to be seen again. He figured they'd been eaten by wild animals. That is disturbing. With Billy now halfway accepting a relationship, the old man decides to teach Billy the way of the cowboy. He dresses Billy up as one, but, well, if you ever saw Back to the Future 3, where Michael J. Fox dresses himself as a so-called traditional cowboy, you kind of have an idea how Billy looks. Meanwhile, night has fallen on the ranch, and a sinister figure approaches from outside. The shadowy figure thinks of how rich old Wild Bill is and how he is going to grab some easy dinero. The man barges in on Billy and the old man, who identifies the robber as young Yates. I think you can see where this is going. After collecting all the money he can find, the old man attempts to stop young Yates, but trips. Billy changes into Captain Marvel and quickly knocks out the thief. He notices a tattoo on the young man's arm of a brand of the barbecue. He remembers in the photo that the baby Billy Batson had the same tattoo on his arm. He tells the old man the true identity of young Yates, and the man accepts that it must be his grandson because he had Billy tattooed with the brand just so he wouldn't get lost. Yes, he branded his baby grandson. Young Yates accepts that it must be the truth because old Yates, the outlaw, had told him that he found him in the woods with a baby girl, but that the baby girl had died. It's dark. The old man is thrilled to find his grandson, but declares that the first thing he must do is whale him good for trying to be a bad man, and he proceeds to put young Yates over his knee and give him a spanking. The story ends with a few words from Cap himself, who says if there's anybody that can tame a wild young outlaw, it's Wild Bill himself. All's well that ends well. Now Billy can return to Station Wiz as the Starboy newscaster. Well, there is so much going on in this story. First of all, it was fun, but wow, did things get kind of dark there at the end. The dropping the bomb that baby Mary didn't survive in the woods, that really bothered me, actually. I mean, I did love this story, but what a note to end on. On the more positive side of things, the Western theme, I really enjoyed that. I've always been a fan of Western films and television shows, so seeing Cap in that setting was a kick. The twist of having his grandkids named Billy and Mary, I don't know. I can understand that for some it may be a bridge too far, but for a little bit there, I don't know, maybe I'm a sucker. I actually had a few seconds where I thought he was really going to be Billy's grandfather and was wondering why I hadn't heard of this character before. As for young Yates, well, when he showed up, it was very obvious who he was going to be, but it was still a fun moment. Although seeing the old man put him over his knee and spank him was a bit weird. There was a lot of spanking going on in the Golden Age comics. Even Batman did it. So one of those things that sort of jumps out as an example of how our culture has changed. Not only did spanking used to be a lot more common, but it was played for laughs. The art, as always, was great. It was Pete Costanza who drew this particular story. He was one of Cap's longest-serving artists. He later worked on Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen for DC, as well as some other DC books, before finally retiring in 1971. Cap had his usual cartoony look, but he gave the rest of the Old West setting and characters a bit more of a detailed, realistic approach, especially the animals, but not going so far as to make Cap seem out of place, so I was pretty impressed by that. The story, of course, was by Otto Bender, and this just has his fingerprints all over it. God bless Otto Bender. I have yet to ever read a story of his that I did not enjoy. So that's going to wrap up my coverage of this story. I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you had a good time revisiting Captain Marvel with me. As usual, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach out at thecomicsinthegmail@gmail.com email address. We also have our Twitter account, which is @comicsinthega, as well as our Facebook page of Comics in the Golden Age podcast. Next episode, I don't want to give too much away, but we are not going to be covering a comic book character this time. And instead, we're going to do kind of what we did in Dick Tracy and visit a comic strip hero. So it'll be a bit of a change of pace, but one I'm excited for. So again, thank you for joining me, and good night.
This is Billy Batson, star reporter for station WIZZ-TV. He has been picked by the aged wizard Shazam to carry on the wizard's lifelong crusade against crime and the forces of evil. When Billy speaks the wizard's name,
Shazam!
Billy becomes Captain Marvel, mighty champion, combining the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, the courage of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury. Billy's twin sister, Mary Batson, has also been granted special power. When she speaks the name
Shazam!